Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a very, very special episode of Matt and Dwight Just Might. This is a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are just trying to figure it out as they make it their way through life. Sheryl Crow's back catalog.
We're on Sheryl Crow.
What, you think that was a one-time thing? No, man.
No,
this is a permanent shift.
I love it.
And look, Dwight, I just need to know, are you strong enough to be my man on this podcast?
I don't even know that song.
Oh.
I'm adding it to the play immediately. We should start a Spotify or Apple like
a playlist that goes
playlist.
Along that goes along with yep.
It's like KRS-One, Sheryl Crow, Taylor Swift, and DMX.
And then also we could drop in comics too, tracks by comics that we discuss.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden there's a Stuart Huff track right after that DMX.
We talk about Joe Rogan a lot on this podcast.
Unfortunately, yeah, there's going to be a lot of Matt Rife tracks in there. It's a special episode because your special comes out on Thursday. I didn't mean to use special in two different ways there in that sentence, but I did. It's an extraordinary, unique week because your special drops on Thursday just in 48 short hours.
That's crazy. That's, yes, my regular comes out on YouTube. Mm-hmm. we're going to start calling them regulars since everyone has one.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's been a process getting to this point. Obviously filmed it in January and it's July. So just navigating the antsiness of like, let's get this thing out. 4x3, the production company, is just really taking off. Like, they do real films. They filmed a comedy special every week of the year, pretty much last year. And they're doing like sets in Chicago. And they were filming some movie this week. And Matt, do you know what side bitch syndrome is? Do you know what a side bitch is?
No, but I think I can put it together from context. Context clues. Let me know. This is the opposite of main character syndrome.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know what main character syndrome
is? I do.
I just found out about that. Yeah.
That's like Truman Show, right?
I guess. But basically, it's a thing where you view the world as that you're the main character, you're the protagonist. And so it affects your ability to have empathy for others because you just see them as bit players in your story.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a real thing that psychologists will drop on you sometimes. Like, yeah, you're kind of having an episode of main character syndrome there.
I wish I had that. I want main character syndrome.
Well, I mean, it's got side bitch syndrome. Sounds like it's the
it's the opposite. Yeah. You're like, you're sending texts just left on read for a day, can't get an email back. And then it's like, oh, I'm sorry, baby. I was a little busy.
Yeah.
I was out of town. I'm sorry. I didn't have the cell service. We was kind of like in a remote location, but we'll make it up to you.
So do you think that the 4x3 guys are just by nature, they're leaving their cell phone face down? So whoever they're with can't see you blowing up their phone. So they're recording a special with somebody else. And like, yo, who the fuck is this Dwight Simmons?
I know.
Getting your business. I thought this was about me this weekend.
Oh man, it is like it's everything's fine. Everything's fine. But it's like, so we were supposed to have a link to send people to by last Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I went through like several moments of like anger, which is rare, which is a rare feeling for me. I don't get angry that often. So
yeah,
I don't really know how to deal or manage that.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of like getting high. So mm-hmm. I just like, luckily I had some edibles from my last trip to Michigan. I just took a couple of those, but it's like we didn't get it up until yesterday. We didn't get up until Monday, which is only like 4 days
in advance. Yeah,
but it feels like an eternity, you know those extra days that I didn't get. But in reality, it's not that big of a deal. It is that main character thing where you're like, why aren't things going exactly the way that I would do them if I was in charge?
Yeah, and if I was the if it, this was the only special, because to you it's exactly. The only special. To them, you're one of 52 specials, and everything's scheduled out, and they're a team working on these sort of things. No, that feeling, it transcends just this. Obviously, this is a higher stakes thing and more a heightened emotional state for you. Because it's a big deal. It's your regular, that's coming out. Dog.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think all of us struggle with that. Like when you send out the avail emails and people just don't reply back, and you're just like, I guess you forgot about me. I don't exist no more. Like you can't reply me. You can't even, it's like, this and most of our listeners who are comedians know this too, man. Like every step of comedy has that sense of like, you're waiting on other people, to book you or to, get back to you on projects that you're working on. So yeah, man, it's real. And I'm glad that you had those edibles to get you through it.
this shit should be legal everywhere. Mm-hmm. I was fine. Luckily, I did have a lot of spots this week and I didn't have to travel. So I didn't have those long car rides to just be in my head even more. Because these guys are really, they're really great. Like they're professional. They're also very new at this in this world of comedy. And it's just by next year, I think they'll have it rolling because they're still a small team. It's just like those little communication gaps where you have time to get in your head. It's like these, because it's like, I've already announced the date. And so you start to spiral. It's like, well, if we don't get the link by when we said, is the special going to be ready? By when we said stuff like that starts to spiral. So just having a nice emotional breakdown all of last week, but we're good. The link is up. The special is finished and it looks and sounds good. So
that's good. And so people can, people, first of all, hopefully everyone here has already just subscribed to your channel on YouTube. But even if you are subscribed, you can still take that extra step of going there and following, or how does it work? Where you remind me or something?
Yeah. So I have a link up that sends you to the exact channel. It's the 4x3 channel.
Oh, it's on their channel, not your channel. Okay. And so this is important that people need to go ahead and take this step.
Yeah, it's you can search 4x3. It's on their front page. It's the first thing that comes up. You just hit reminder or notify me.
So it's notify me. I'm doing it right now. So boom. I'm notification on.
A comment will help our overlords, the algorithm, show it to more people. So I would really appreciate it. I'm proud of it. I hope that people watch it. That's the thing.
Yeah. And so I'm putting a comment. I also liked it. I gave it a little thumbs up thing. So these are all the little things that hopefully the listeners can get in there and do this too. And it does help that algorithm. So if you are listening to the podcast right now, on the day that it comes out, it's the day before his regular drops, do what we just said. I just Googled 4x3 comment, didn't Google it. I put in the YouTube search bar, taking right to their page. Dwight's thing is the first thing that comes up. You can hit the notify me. You can hit the like button. You can leave a comment, which is what I'm going to say right now. Should I make it? I'm trying. Should I make it?
It's a Sheryl Crow lyric.
That's it. I'm making a Sheryl Crow lyric.
Oh, that's funny. I'm I do want people to watch it. Someone asked me what the goal of this is. I did BT's podcast on Monday, and he's like, I really want people to watch it because I think that it is a good indication of what you will see when you come to one of my shows. Mm-hmm. We talk about people not doing any research of the comedians that they go to see, which this won't solve that problem, but hopefully enough people will watch it that enjoy my style of comedy and start to come to shows. Like the whole goal is to have people come see you.
That is a good goal, and I think it is maybe the end goal for everybody is you want to have your own fan base and things like that. You talk about how you've been going through this emotional roller coaster up and down. I've really been struggling lately with just part of it is, I think, because I was applying for this other job and everything like that didn't happen. But I really kind of felt like, oh, well, this is it. Like, I'm not moving up the ladder anymore in comedy. Like, these are the rooms I'll do. And so it's just like the slowly diminishing returns. Like, I mean, I know that's kind of like a sad boy way to put it, but it's really kind of how I felt lately. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm getting older and everything like this. Like, okay, this is what I've done. And I guess I'll just keep doing these rooms as long as they'll book me. And that's honestly probably why I think I've also not been writing that much, because it's like, I'm not going to write like a joke that then catapults me into another stratosphere. It's just not going to happen. You know, I'm not going to write, you know, I'll write the new hour as it comes to me, but there's no, for me, I feel like there's not, I'm at the end of the road kind of in a way. In which maybe I'll get over it. Maybe I'll get that hustle back. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's really felt like that for me ever since my special bombed fucking so spectacularly. Like, it really has been the thing that I was just kind of like, well, I guess that was it. It didn't hit. And it's like, not only did it not hit, it like anti-hit. It like...
Well, yours was like such a tumultuous release.
Right. Like, and there are a lot of things that went wrong with the release. And all that. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's also just like, but even if everything went right with the release, it might have also still just been like, people are like, nope.
Yeah, maybe, know? But you don't know. Like, this is the part of, nobody's going to care about your product more than you, especially these production companies. Like, when you were filming your special, Helium, it was like one of the first ones they've ever done. Mm-hmm. They gave you a release date that was wrong. They didn't give you like advance notice.
Yeah.
So that you could tell people, because that first 24 to 48 hours is really important.
Right.
Like, if you get a lot of traffic there, and it doesn't matter if people are like, nope, but you just need more eyes on it, because it's not like,
so you're like, we'll take the nopes as long as they get the view numbers up.
But like, sincerely, like, people are going to comment on me talking about critical race theory or Black history. But it's going to like drive the numbers so that the people that actually, and
that's the only reason you did it, right? That's the only reason you wrote those. It's like, your entire special is just clickbait. You're just like, what's the button pushing topics?
Yeah.
Quick, we got to get this out, but people are still talking about critical race theory. We got to get it out there.
I know. I was like, nobody's going to know what this is by July. I was like, can we put this out tomorrow? Let's edit it quickly.
But no, I'm not trying to like, thank you. These are all very nice things that you're saying. And again, we've talked about my special on that. I don't love it. As time has gone on, I wish I'd not let them talk me into releasing it as the weird document, because I don't think it's a great representation of, it's definitely not me at my best. It's me like at my mid, at, if even that, you know, like on most nights, I'm way better than what you see in that special.
Yeah.
Even handling somebody like that, I had to handle, I'm usually better at it than that. And so, but it's just one of those things where, again, I might get pushed through this or whatever. And I don't know why I'm trying to make this all about me. This episode is supposed to be about your special. But
main character
syndrome. I know. Both of exactly. Us. Yeah. So
we're renaming the podcast.
but my thing is that it's great though to see you still driving and talking about it in this way too, of this idea of like getting your own fan base. Like, that is such a foreign concept to me at this point. I'm like, I'm just happy if you'll still book me to come in and do the job, and I'll do a good job, and I'm cheap, and you know, and it's like, it's fine, and maybe I'll sell some merch at the end of the night. You know, this is like, again, I'm not trying to be super depressing to anyone listening to this. It's just a very realistic kind of way that I'm looking at it now, as I am turning 50 very soon.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this for 15 years, and it's like, okay, this seems to be about it. And who knows, you know, maybe I'll be like the old person who gets to be on America's Got Talent. You know, like, they always have some old comic. Oh, yeah. Isn't it cute? This old person's telling jokes. Isn't that adorable? They should be at the home.
Oh, but
they
have
here telling jokes. Like, they have their characters that they'll book on America's Got Talent every season.
Well, I will say, you and I are both too liberal for that show.
Like, oh no, I'm changing it up.
Oh yeah, you're going.
Yeah,
you're switching it up. We've talked about switching it up, man.
Yeah, like, I was like, you know, ever since they took prayer out of schools.
Live on Fox Nation.
yeah. That's the only way I'm going to get another special, is if I go full hard right and get one of those Fox News Channel comedy specials.
I say it all the time. Audience for everybody.
You do. You're very nice about that. Yeah.
There's a, I don't know, man. It's, I don't know what matters anymore. Like things change so quickly now. It's like, it used to be like very respected just to be good at stand up. And now it's like, yeah, you can tell jokes, but you can't edit videos worth shit. So do you, are you really the complete package? Are you really a triple threat if you don't have a podcast and you edit the podcast to release short clips and then have like the dopest graphics on it? Which we don't do that for this podcast. Or
no, I did a couple of them in the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, this is like, again, why I say that my attitude about it now, I don't see it as a sad attitude. I think it is a very realistic, like there are things that you have to do now that I just don't want to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to do a character on Reels where I'm acting out like, this is what the breakfast cereal would sound like if they were people, you know? And like, I mean, cause that's what people are doing. People are like,
that's a funny bit though.
It's a, I mean, but that's literally, I'm sure someone has done it. I'm sure someone has done it. And it's just like, none of that is what is interesting to me. And so I'm opting for obsolescence. I'm like, I don't want to play this game, and I'll just fade off into the sunset and be okay with it. Honestly, like, it'd be like, all right, that's fine. You know,
you're going to do like a really fun week of shows, and then you'll catch the bug again.
Oh, here's the thing is, I am still interested in performing and doing stand up.
Yeah.
I do not get me wrong. Like I, you know, think back to even like, you know, not even like the big run I did in April where I went all the way out to Alaska and back, and most of those shows were great. You know, my Tacoma Comedy Club shows are some of the best I ever had. Yeah. You know, even headlining Springfield, Missouri, you know, as a, you know, as a headliner for a raffle, I had a ball. Like I had a great time, and featuring that week and the rest of those shows, the actual going and doing stand up part, I still like.
Yeah,
so like that a lot. It's just all this other stuff. I don't think I'm going to have such a hot weekend that I'm going to be like, all right, I need to come up with some characters.
Yeah, yeah. This is,
I just
like,
don't see that happening. You know,
this is like, I'm complaining about the production company, but like forever in their debt because I would have to do all this myself. Mm-hmm. And they released the first clip, and I was like, this is just so much better than anything that I've ever put online. Like, looks better. The captions are clear.
Yeah.
Like, doing a quick cut, they're like, you know, on Instagram, they want, when you release a reel, they're like, it should have, like, a little cut every 3 seconds. And I was like, who has the time to do this? And so, like, I'm super grateful. The clip they release is actually sped up from how it looks in the special for social media. Yeah. So there's beats where, you know, I'm patient and let the audience.
Right. So editing wise, they sped it up. Technically, they didn't speed it up.
No, bit. Not like 1.5.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King's it. I'm like Arnaz J all of a sudden on BET Comic View. But yeah, it's like little things like that. Hopefully means that I can just focus for however long this lasts until maybe my life will just be producing stuff to put on social media until I have a big enough audience. But then what, you know? But then what? It's like, I got to do 2 shows with Rory Scovel this Saturday at the White Rabbit, who's just like, he's just such a unique human being, which makes him the most unique performer I've ever seen live.
Mm-hmm.
2 shows, completely different. He's working on a ton of new stuff, which is fun to watch how his brain works. Mm-hmm. But even just talking to him in the green room, I was kind of complaining about the situation, not having this link. And he's like, man, things are ephemeral. Things are evergreen. Like, it's out of your hands now. So don't stress. And then, that was like, it was pretty meaningful for him to say that to me because it's true. It's true. It's like, you don't know what's going to matter in the grand scheme of your career tomorrow to you personally.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was really cool. And he did a first show. He did a bit that just kind of derailed. So he started playing The Floor is Lava,
mm-hmm.
which he stepped on the front chairs that were empty in the front row.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was insane. People literally gave up their chairs so that he could move around the room. And as he's just telling jokes and riffing with the crowd. And then at one point, someone brings him a wireless microphone so he can make it to the back of the room. He ends up outside doing a man on the street thing, mm-hmm. comes back, man. I was like, I don't know what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that's show one. It's like, you can't recreate that. That's show one. And yeah. so we're talking in the green room. He's like, I don't know what the second show is going to be. It was just him telling jokes and it was fantastic. He's one of my all time faves. So it was cool to work with him.
That's awesome that you get to work with him. And yeah, he's definitely one of the more unique individuals out there. I think that he has a sort of freedom that you see. Mm-hmm. You can also see with Tig.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that are, yes, at the height of their game, but also they've reached a certain amount of success where they can be out there, you know, and for it's sure. Like, if they tank a show, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right. You know, right. The Floor is Lava bit falls apart on them. You know, yeah. It's like, first of all, they're good enough that they could recover and make it funny, you know, and right. things like that. But it's like Ting Taro pushing a fucking stool around stage for like 18
iconic
or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Iconic.
And it's like that we're still talking about years and years later, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think there is a thing that comes with, A, you have to be that kind of performer that's willing to just get out there and on the limb and see what happens and be okay with it.
Yeah.
But I think it's also, it's easier to do that when you have a lot of success and financial stability. Because if you tried to do The Floor is Lava at, where were you in Michigan last week?
Saugatuck.
Saugatuck, yeah. If you tried to do The Floor is Lava at Saugatuck and it didn't go over.
Yeah.
Well, that's the last time you're playing Saugatuck, dog. Yeah. They're not bringing
Wouldn't
you
that be a shame?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be the worst?
Well, you need that $200.
Yeah. Please have me back, please. I come to your yacht town.
Yeah. It's
I agree. I agree. He called it open mic Cirque du Soleil, and I thought that was very apt. But yeah, you do get afforded these freedoms when you're doing an hour in front of your own fan base. So,
exactly. Yeah,
that's just like a truth of comedy. It's like when you watch the documentary Seinfeld, and he's like, "I'm gonna start from scratch." It's like, no, you're not. You're gonna drive your Porsche and like take somebody's spot at the New York Comedy Club. Start from scratch. Get out of here. What is this documentary, dude?
Well, I mean, I think he was talking about writing an hour from scratch, not like.
No, I'm back in the trenches.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's
trying to make it sound so gritty. It's like, come on, dude.
Oh, man. Well, you know, there was no valet parking for his Porsche, you know, like. He had to park it on the street.
Oh, like the rough Huffet days.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. Well, how great it would have been if he would have like worn a prosthetic disguise and did a different name and started off like, if he really is like, no, I'm going to start off again from the. So he just like has like crazy like fake nose and everything, and he's just like, his name is Barry.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's funny.
But no, that's great that you had that, and it's good that you had the shows to kind of keep your mind active, occupied, so you're not just spiraling thinking about Thursday's release date.
Yeah, like I'm like very detached from that material. I was like trying to do. I didn't do. I think the longest set I did this week is last night. Did 25, but like it was a lot of riffing, a lot of new stuff, and then. Closed on the Good Bones bit just to have like an actual closer. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel probably because I've watched the special so many times with edits and stuff. I was like, I don't want to hear these words ever again in this order. So like, I think that's been fun for me this week. I had 5 spots, so I didn't have to leave. So just working on new stuff and playing around and goofing off is like, afforded me, I don't know, some sort of renewal of energy, kind of like the Seinfeld starting from scratch, where it's not at that level, but I'm in my city where I can pop in and do 15 minutes at several different places. which is nice. So the new stuff is still very raw, and I don't know what's gonna stick around, but yeah, it was a good week. I'm excited for Thursday. I'm gonna have just a little get together instead of a view party, so mm-hmm. people can watch it on their own and leave the comments. Uh-huh. So
I could just see, like, when does it drop? Does it drop at 8 p.m. or something?
Seven
p.m. Yep. I could just see it at like 6:55 p.m. You're gonna be like, Megan, can you get off the PlayStation now so we can use the TV? sorry, 5 minutes. No, I know you're on like a really difficult level of the Harry Potter game, but if you could just baby, please, can you
Expelliarmus? Yeah, I'm not approaching her when she's in Hogwarts, dude. That's dangerous. That's dangerous living.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just you and a bunch of your friends like huddled around like an iPhone in the backyard watching it.
Yeah, it looks good. It's kind of small. Did you have spots?
Did you have spots? I didn't. I was supposed to close out the contest, but I got a message from the hospital that let me know I needed to probably get back down to Jeffersonville again, or at that point it's still Louisville. And so I bailed on those spots, and John Handcuff took them. And then, of course, he posted about how, like, it's the greatest crowd we've ever had. You know, I'm like, God damn it.
He's like, I haven't done stand-up since 1993. I got on stage and I rushed in front of the greatest audiences
like,
in the world.
Yeah, so I was just like, all right, but it's fine. I did need to go. I needed to go. And like, my family members' spirits were starting to not stay up, which is an important part of the recovery process. So I basically had to go down and just be like cheerleader and cheering them up and stuff like that, which is kind of one of the main parts of being an advocate. Luckily, my brother has been in like great facilities. When my mom went through all this with my mom, the first facility was great, but then like the next two like sort of hospitals she went were hit or miss. You know, and so I would have to show up and make sure the nurses are doing their fucking jobs, which is a weird thing to say. My brother, knock on wood, it's been great so far. Like, everything has been dope. The places that he's at are really, really good. So it was just more like, you know, being in the hospital for weeks and then sucks. And it's easy to get sad about things. And so I had to go down there and kind of like, you know, just be there for him. So anyway, that's a long way to say that I didn't do those spots. But I am hosting the Don't Tell this Thursday. We're opposite your special.
It finally comes to this.
Yeah. And so this is what breaks up the podcast. I'm hosting that. And then I'm going to do guest spots in Louisville that Friday, Saturday. I'll be back down there at Planet of the Tapes doing guest spots for Ryan Singer. Because I need to get my head right and get out of this sort of like, I'm giving up mindset that I've got because I'm headlining the Small Room in Helium July 28th and 29th, the final weekend. I did send out avails, even though I thought I wasn't going to. I just sent to like local ones that I thought I could easily do and still be at the hospital during the day. And Avery hit me right back and was just like, hey, do you want to do this weekend? And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
You know?
I think I do.
I mean, I do, but I also want to do it. I love working at that club. I love Avery and the staff there, but it's just like, I'm going to have to like kind of get my shit together and get my head right. And my head's not been right. Obviously I'm distracted with a lot of my family stuff, but you know, I'm just going to have to like push through and going to have to sell these old ass jokes like they're brand new, baby. Like, I just thought of this today.
Oh, that's funny. That's cool. You've headlined there before, right? The weekend?
Not the Little Room. I've headlined a random Thursday downstairs. And you know, and it was the sort of thing where if we sold enough tickets, it would be downstairs. And if we didn't, it was gonna be upstairs. Mm-hmm. And we sold enough, so it was downstairs and it was great. It was super fun, you know. So
that's good. Maybe
my first time headlining the Little Room. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they'll start working you at the Helium since you filmed a special for them.
And I think like, this is the kindness of Avery, and I think that Helium LLC or whatever the fuck they are, Helium Inc. I think I'm dead to them. I really do. I've stopped even emailing the main guy that does the bookings for their club. I've just stopped.
Yeah, like,
he wasn't replying, and I've heard from other people who also did specials for them that about how it's the same thing. Like they there were a couple of people whose specials or blew up and then mm-hmm. are getting work. And then there are, you know, and the same thing with people who recorded albums for the Helium label. I think a lot of us thought, oh, this is going to help us get more consistent work.
Nothing matters.
Nah, dog. The only time I've done another Helium has been in Portland, and that's because the headliner has put me on. Like, Irene, too, put me on a show.
Yeah.
But she was headlining. It's never come through the club system, ever.
These chains. These chains. They want you to be the viral serial TikTok person.
Yeah. And you know, and that's also one of the reasons why I kind of have this idea that I'm like, I've hit this ceiling, is like, I feel like, all right, nobody's really investing in me or pushing me. And like, if it doesn't happen naturally on its own, then that's just it. And so I will say, you know, not all chains are like that. You know, the Looney Bin chain was very good about booking me as a feature regularly. Every single year, they give me a couple of weeks of work, put money in my pocket. Same thing with Bark Entertainment has been very supportive, not only featuring, but also letting me headline like wraparound nights and stuff like that, you know? And so it's just a certain chain that I did some business with. Hasn't been that interested in doing any other type of business with me, you know, letting me be on shows. But thank God they let the local GMs have some say on it. And Avery's been great since his Morty's days. I mean, he's been awesome. So
yeah, he came to the second Rory Scovel show with his wife. It was cool to see him out of like work mode and just like hanging out. And we're just talking about old Morty stuff. Like, it was those 3-hour open mics where anybody could show up if you featured at the club and do 20 minutes in between these new comics trying to do 5 minutes. Stites, oh my god,
Stites was the one that I saw do it the most, where he would just come in and do 20 to 30 minutes on an open mic, and it's just like, no one
like,
what are you doing, man? Anyway, old days,
baby. It was cool, man. That's cool. Get to hang out with Ryan. I saw him last week. I think I talked about that. He was at Can. I was on a show with him. He's his new stuff's hilarious, man.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. And I feel like it'd also be like, I love Ryan and I love Planet of the Tapes. And so I have to be back down there next weekend anyway for hospital stuff.
Yeah.
And so I just thought, okay, I can pop out and do some spots, and hopefully he's going to, you know, it's going to be the kind of fun shit that makes me want to have fun and
spark joy
in my life. So where are you at next week, and then we'll get into this question of the week. Let's find out where you're going to be.
We are actually switching cities. I will be in Bloomington at the Buzzkirk Chumley Theater with Brent Terhune doing a fundraiser. So tickets are on my website. That's July 28th. And then you'll be in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably come hang out with you the next night. So, but yeah, that's all I got for next week. But big show. Come out, support. Brent's hilarious.
Yeah.
See if my new stuff works. I'm thinking about filming, like having someone film and just doing a set of old stuff that I've never released and some new stuff that may never go anywhere. Just to have
on the theater show
ammo. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That'd be great.
I think the new stuff's fine, but I'll work on it more this week. I'm excited about certain aspects of it. And then there's just stuff that's like, oh, that's just for me. But I'm going to say it out loud a couple more times.
Well, but also, I feel like you're allowed to have some of those. You know, you don't want your whole set to be just for you. But if you have an occasional thing that's just for you, I think that keeps it fun. And it's nice for, you know, nice for you as a performer and as a human being to just Because also, the ones that are just for you are also usually, there's like one other person in the room that it's also for. It's like, instead of doing like this very broad thing, we're going to do a very niche thing that one other person is going to enjoy. And that's fine. That's how it works. That's awesome. And I hope that it's, I'm a little offended you didn't boycott the show since I didn't get the job at the Buzzkirk Chumley Theater. But it's a benefit. You know, so
I'm saying it from the stage.
Oh, okay.
Y'all fucked up not hiring my man.
Drop a big banner, like a protest banner from the
Long Live Matt. Limestone Comedy Festival has lost a venue.
Yeah, man. But that's great. Yep. And that should be a good show. So Bloomington people, head on out and catch that on the 28th. And Brent Terhune, the headliner, today is his birthday. We're recording this on Tuesday, July 18th. Happy birthday, Brent. I don't know if you listen to this podcast. Probably not. You're probably too busy recording your six to seven podcasts that you produce.
He has a lot of podcasts.
And all the shows that you do. But yeah, big birthday shout outs to Brent. Let's get into the question of the week. We have a question of the week, which is nice. We like it whenever you guys send us these. It gives us a new thing to think about with comedy, and we appreciate that. If you would like to ask us a question, you can email us at the Gmail account of mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com. You can send any of your questions that you have about comedy or really anything. Obviously, the format of this podcast is pretty loose.
Yeah.
We'll get into the weeds sometimes and some non-comedy stuff, so it doesn't have to be a comedy related question. But today's question comes from Alex Schubert, very funny young man from Cincinnati, who has asked a question before, and that is a-okay. We are fine with you sending multiple questions, you know, especially if you do it like Alex. He was respectful, he waited, he spaced it out a while, he's not sending us question after question after question. So thanks for this new question, Alex, and it's a very nuanced one that I think is good to think about. Alex's question says, I know you all already discussed the tape aspect on the pod, and he's talking about like what's the best way to get submission tape, right? Mm-hmm. particularly for festivals, but also for club work. Alex says he does have a follow-up question. If sending a bunch of different tapes, especially year after year, do bookers look for different material in each of the tapes? I know to always be writing, but in some aspects, jokes that are part of your killer five will be decently set in stone. Especially as a festival booker, do you all look for comics to change the material in their 5-minute tapes year after year? I also say this knowing not to have the exact same stuff year after year. Some stuff has to evolve. Mm-hmm. So I want to just start off by saying from our perspective with Limestone, we do look for some evolution. It doesn't, if it's, it's sort of, there's two sort of areas with this. We have an alternate list. These are people that almost get in and they get to submit the next year for free. And in the directions on how to submit for free the next year, it is very explicitly stated that the panel wants to see new stuff. Don't send the same clip. Don't send you doing all the same jokes in a new clip, right? They want to see, it's been a year later, what's the growth process been like? For people that don't make it to the alternate list, it's not as pressing to do that. You know, obviously you send a clip 1 year and you don't get in, don't send that clip. But as if your jokes have gotten better, you've tightened them up, it's the same jokes and, you know, it's more or less the same set and it's just a better version, I think it's perfectly fine. But you also have to think, like, after a couple of years, you're not going to want to send it year after year after year after year.
Right.
Right. Your killer five shouldn't be the same killer five 5 years later.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and also that evolution takes many shapes and many forms. So I think it's okay. That's just speaking from the Limestone perspective. Talking to other festival producers, I know there's a similar thing where they keep an eye on certain people, even if they don't make it to the alternate list. They kind of like, okay, this person submitted a couple years in a row. They've gotten better scores every year. They are getting better. I think in that case, most of them are looking for at least some fresh new jokes or, you've now built this bit out. It's now got more tags. It now has a whole other section that didn't happen before, or the way you get into it's new, or how it sits in the set is different. Mm-hmm. You know, all these things can radically kind of change the effect of a joke, right? Mm-hmm. If it's like, you know, it was a standalone joke, you know, and now it's part of a couple of jokes under an umbrella, that in a way gives it brand new life, in my opinion.
So, yeah.
What do you think, Dwight, your own experiences?
I agree with the, you know, updating your clip to make it fresh, even if it's similar material. I 100% agree with that. You know, it could be your performance, could be your confidence, the way you're delivering things. Outside of festivals, just like submitting to showcases and clubs, I think it's important to, one, pace the frequency when you're messaging or emailing. I think in the email he asks, like, is it okay to send a bunch of different tapes? I don't think so. Like, I don't think so. I think it's important to make respectful contact. Send a short clip that shows what you can do for the spot that you're applying for. So, like, if you feel like you're ready to be moved up, send a longer clip than if you're just going for like a host or guest spot or feature spot. Just be intentional with it. I think people don't realize, like, you don't fit in every room. You don't, like, your material doesn't work in every room. So if I send something to the Attic, which is like, it's more of a liberal club, I'm gonna make my material lean a little bit more that way. If it's a clean club or like they want something PG, then it has to be that. It's good to have all these things in the arsenal just in case something comes up and you can just fire it rather than like, oh, I gotta like force. It's always like very obvious when someone just tried to force a submission tape. Like, you get these Hail Marys for limestone. It's like 2 days before. It's bad lighting. They're rushing jokes. It's like, you know, it's just like very obvious.
Right. So or it's in a bad room. It's the only place I could get up. Like, there's nobody in the audience.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But yeah, there's so many telltale signs of either it was a last minute attempt or the person just is completely devoid of reality and not looking objectively at their own clip.
Right.
You know, like horrible resolution. You know, it looks like they taped it through like a plastic bag or whatever. You know, like, you know, like, I mean, we've seen it all. Like, it's just, you know, sound is muffled, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think when you go to the club situation, so, you know, with a festival, you got one shot each year, essentially, right? You got one submission each year. But for clubs, you could submit multiple times, you know, throughout the year. But I think it is, you have to stay respectful. Like you said, I think that's key. You don't want to be, you want to be consistent, but you don't want to be annoying, you know? And again, they get tons of emails. And so staying in their inbox is perfectly fine, like once a month or every 5 weeks or whatever you choose to do it. I don't think always having a brand new clip every time you email them is a good move.
No,
I think like after the initial, like, here's the first email introduction, here's who I am, here's the clip, you know, I would love to work your room, and you give your avails. Then the next emails, the next four emails, five emails should just be like, here's my updated avails, you know, still loved it, you know, or ask for a specific weekend. Hey, I see that you have Rory coming in. He's one of my favorites. I would love it if I could open for Rory.
Yeah.
Specificity is always good.
Yep.
And then maybe 6 months later, you can be like, hey, you know, just want to stay on your radar. I've sent my updated avails. I also have a new clip if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
I think every 6 months to a club, sending a new clip is fine.
Yeah.
If you haven't gotten in with them, you know, once you're in with them and they know who the fuck you are, once you go do the club one time,
right?
You shouldn't have to keep sending them clips. You know,
we need to see you on tape again.
Yeah.
After that shit you pulled last time.
But I mean, there's stuff that happens where the booking at a club or the management of a club changes over. And then, yes, everyone's back to square zero again, even though you've, like, you know, a perfect example. And this is an amazing club. And I understand that why they had to do it. But, you know, the Laughing Skull was booked one way for a very long time.
Yep.
And then they changed the booking policy and they had a panel set up where it's like a review panel.
Yep.
And you and I both got the same apologetic email from one of the people on the panel. Is like, I know you guys have done the club several times, but this is the new policy. So can you just send us a clip?
Yeah.
Like, even though you and I had both done that club many, many, many times.
Yep.
It was just like, nope. Okay. And you respect it. Like, cool. That's your policy, man. Yeah.
Change it.
It's not the time to get all diva-ish. It's like, great. Yep. Here's a clip.
I have seen people do that. someone was trying to get on the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn, in New York, and they went on a tirade on Twitter. It's like, can you believe I see you at open mics all the time? You know who I am. I ain't sending you no clip. And it was on, it's like the public forum takedown.
Yeah.
Do you think he got on that show, Matt?
No, I'm assuming not.
That's a hard no. But yeah, it's like, it is like the the being ready and not being a diva about it, and not like, I've said this on the podcast before, but a lot of clubs don't watch every clip.
Of course.
So like, you know, it's like what you said, hey, I'd love to work your club. Here's a clip. And being specific, make the less work they have to do, the more likely you are to get booked. So it's nice to have the clip. It's nice to always keep it fresh. And it's really a feel. Like, if you think you have a good enough clip to replace it, send it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no, like, hard, fast rule. Don't, like in comedy, there's no rules anyway. But, like, there's no hard, fast rule of, like, outside, try to be a good person.
Which is a rule that a lot of people ignore.
So, once again, no rules. But... yeah, it's like, it's a feel. So like, if you have a clip that you're proud of, send it off. And then just follow up. Do you have, like, I'm like every 6 weeks, and like,
when I think of it, and like, where my calendar is at, because you can, you know, if your calendar is pretty full, it can let off for a little while, you know? Mm-hmm. But I would say about 6 weeks is probably my average too.
Yeah,
I feel like it's that, you know, and you also, there's specific people that want it more frequently than that. There's mm-hmm. other people, you know, I a lot of opinions about Ruth Ann at Crackers and everything, but I did always appreciate this policy that she would have, which she would just say, email me your avails every single week until mm-hmm. I give you a weekend, and then stop emailing me. And then when you come do that weekend, the next Monday, start sending mm-hmm. me your avails every week till I give you a weekend, and then stop emailing me. It was very explicitly clear. Like, this is how you do it.
Right.
And it had like the start and the stop, and it's like, everything was like, okay, perfect. Love it. You know, and so it's great when they're like that, but unfortunately a lot of clubs are not that regimented or that clear in expressing it. And a lot of times, you know, we both know club owners who, you know, the feature, they don't, you know, like, they're leaving it open. The headliner might bring a feature, and then like the week of the show, oh shit, I need somebody.
Yeah.
And so then they're grabbing people, which is why it's always good to kind of stay in their inboxes with your updated avails.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, sometimes people, like, some club owners don't book the entire lineup as strategically as you would think.
Right.
It's more like, who's in the room? Like, who showed up at the open mic that weekend? Okay, exactly. Cool. Do you want a feature? You know, like,
yeah, we're putting, you know, Zane Zady with Donnie Baker, because that's not a recipe for absolute disaster, setting you up for failure. You sure you want these spots?
Did he actually do that with Donnie Baker?
He did.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was.
I wanted to have like an entire like investigative documentary series done on just that.
No love lost for Donnie Baker. I think it's pretty public knowledge. I don't like that guy.
That's why you pulled out on him and you shot him. I did.
Hey, I'm not for violence.
You pinned it up on the jealous husband, but we all know.
Oh, man. What do we call that lady? A farmer? What was the name of the place?
Okay. I don't know. Yeah.
But yeah, man, that was, those situations happen, especially like at the old Morty's. Like, mm-hmm. it was like, okay, you're around, or you've bugged me enough, and you don't get to pick who you... This is also a good reason why you should be specific of who you want to work with.
Right.
Instead of just like firing it into the ether. Like, I think there are a handful of comics that I'll say no to. Mm-hmm. Like, if I get asked to middle for, and I won't say like, no, fuck, I hate that person. I'll just be like, I'm booked that weekend, even if I'm not.
Yeah, I did the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just unavailable that weekend.
Yeah. But you just sent me your avails. No, I booked some real quick. It just happened.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. There's you usually have a little bit of a window. Like, you can just sell that lie. They usually don't immediately reply back, you know?
Yeah.
So you can be like, oh, you know, just, you know, sorry.
That's
these other weekends though.
Yeah. I do. So that's another thing. If you say no to a weekend, just like, be like, no, I can't do the 19th and 20th, but what about the 27th and 28th?
Mm-hmm.
Just like, if you have them on the hook, just like book something, get something.
Yeah,
booked.
Try to get it nailed down for sure. Yeah,
that's a great question, Shubes.
It is a great question, Shubes. Thanks for sending that in. I was seeing if we had anything else. We don't have anything else in the inbox. So again, if you would like to send us a question for a future episode of the podcast, you can do that at the Gmail account. It's mattanddwight@gmail.com, mattanddwight@gmail.com. Yeah, man. And now we are 1 hour closer to the debut of Who's the Master?
Who's the Master? Which, by the way, is inspired by Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon, which is a blaxploitation film, musical, kung fu, Motown joint that is just unhinged, and I absolutely love it. It's worth the watch if you are blazed out of your mind, or just, it is the most crazy, like the hero's name is Bruce Leroy.
Uh-huh. Nothing problematic about that.
Nothing
at all.
It is perfectly fine. And Laura Sanders from New Orleans, very talented artist, did my artwork. So shout out to her. I absolutely love what she did. She's incredible. I think she's done stuff for you too. I think that's
She did my t-shirt and I cannot recommend Laura enough. She's fantastic. And you see a lot of people using her, more and more comics are using her because she's really great. She gives comics a discounted rate, you know. She just puts a good unique spin on everybody's thing. Like you know, I saw the shirt that she did for Spark Tabor, which is so fantastic.
That's great.
And I just said, I want something as awesome as that, but not, obviously I don't want it to look like Sparks, you know, and she just killed it. And the same thing like yours looks completely unique as well. And so, she's the greatest. One thing about the movie, Last Dragon, which I absolutely loved growing up, I was super into kung fu films anyway. Yeah. And there weren't a lot of American made ones back then other than like, because it's pretty good compared to like some garbage like American Ninja 4 and shit like that went straight to video. Like it's a pretty good movie. Yes, it's ridiculous, and the characters are like the music producer's girlfriend character is so over the top and ridiculous, but it's
good
pretty
movie.
Good movie, and also has not one but two musical performances by DeBarge, and it's important, you
Rhythm
know.
Rhythm of the night,
Rhythm of the night, baby.
Add DeBarge to the playlist, Matt.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, we have
there we
to.
Go.
If you get, just go to YouTube, type in The Last Dragon trailer, and see if you can figure out what this movie is about. It's amazing.
Well, used to not give away the whole goddamn movie in the trailer. See, that back in my day, trailer would pique your interest, but you didn't know everything was happening.
Oh, yeah.
You just had to like have faith and be like, oh, that looked good. Wonder what that's about. And then you go and you'd be like, oh, that was not what I thought it was about.
Oh, back in my day. I love it. I love it. You got anything else for the people, Matt?
No, book me.
You heard it here first.
I would love to do some shows that are relatively close to Bloomington/Louisville within a couple hours, so I can always kind of get back to the hospital and do what I need to do there. So if anybody has a cool show and wants to have me on it, I would love to do it. I would love to, you know, find my love of stand up again and my hope and optimism for my own career. And maybe I could do that at your shitty Tuesday night, Mike.
Let us be your main character.
Yes, that's what we want. Let us be your main character.